This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
As we got past Stonehenge, I want to ask more about Stonehenge. I don't hear much about it anymore. Does anybody? Tim and Amanda. Tim was about to ask something.
Well, I was just saying, Stonehenge, you can't get really close to it anymore. They've got a fence around it. But Ashbury, you know, you can get close to it.
Yeah, yep. I got to touch the stones at Ashbury, and that was really a very meaningful experience for me. But yeah, Stonehenge, you don't get to touch it. I guess they do let you during the solstices. I think they said four times total in the year you can go and touch them, specifically on the two solstices, and I don't remember the other times. But yeah, no, Avebury, though, was really stuck out to all of us, I think, because we got to touch the stones and really, like, be up there with it and feel like how it felt, I imagine, when they put the stones there. It was very cool.
Well, considering the age of Ashbury, and I can't remember now, I mean, just how old it is, but it's such a unique looking, and when you're there, it was like you said, it's you get a very spiritual experience from it. That, I mean, when I went to Stonehenge, I didn't feel that same way as I did at Ashbury.
Yeah. It's hard to weed through the emotions I had because I was so Stonehenge was on my bucket list, and that it was so meaningful to just be there for a lot of reasons, probably a lot of personal reasons too, to feel like, you know, I've kind of reached this like upper echelon of like my life experiences and stuff. But was it as spiritual of an experience as Avebury? I don't think so, actually. So I would agree that, yeah, there's something to be said about like how visited Stonehenge is and how it's kind of, I still think it's a very magical place, but it doesn't feel as, I don't know, originally magical as it was. It's just it is very geared towards tourism and stuff, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know. That day was great, though. That was my favorite day on my trip to Europe by far.
So, Gene, you were going to ask a question about Stonehenge?
It's unfortunate, I guess, that they fence it off. Is there a reason for that? Maybe too many tourists or in danger of defacing the place?
I think so. Our tour guide was saying, so we had a bus tour guide, but not really a tour guide at the stones. But he did mention that not that long ago, some college students, like local college students, had graffitied, or I can't remember the story. It wasn't like graffiti, like how you, there's graffiti in the States, but they had done some kind of project, and whatever it was on the stones, it had left a mark, like paint on it or something like that. So yeah, they have dealt with them, like facing the stones. So I would love to touch the stones, and maybe I'll get to go back during a solstice or something, but I'm kind of glad that they don't let people touch them now, because I could see where that could just open up to, I don't know, lots of problems, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, situations like that is why we can't have nice things.
Mm-hmm.
So, with the investigations that you have conducted, is there anyone that really stands out to you that you feel that, you know, you either, you know, accomplished a lot, or it just, you came away from it afterwards just really surprised by what happened?
Any people that I've investigated with, or
locations or people? I mean, you know, anything. You know, I was specifically thinking about locations, but, you know, yeah, people as well. You know, whatever.
Yeah. Location wise, I was very affected by my time at the Lizzie Borden House. Surprisingly, which before staying there, I didn't think much would happen. I'm very skeptical when it comes to some of these really big, big money haunted locations. But I stayed. I got the very, very lucky opportunity to stay at Lizzie Borden House alone, without anyone else in the house. And the activity that I experienced, specifically a lot of walking, not just a footstep here and there, but just very loud boots on the floor walking around the house that I couldn't, disembodied walking, really affected me and stuck with me as something I just still can't explain to this day. So that one really sticks out. And then I filmed a documentary recently over the last 2 years on the Olympic Peninsula near Lake Crescent in Washington State. And my time out there was also very, very influential for the direction my investigating has taken. But of course, I can't spill those secrets yet. We have to wait for that documentary to come out.
And when's that expected to come out?
That is slated to come out this year, December of 2022.
Oh, great. All right. Okay, well, tell us a bit more about what happened at the Lizzie Borden House. I mean, I've been there, I know somewhat the location, but I guess that you spent the night there?
I did, yeah. I stayed overnight. This was right before the new ownership that they have now. So this was April 2021, and I stayed the night. I bought a room for myself for the night, but it happened to be on Easter, so nobody else was staying that night. And so I just ended up having the house to myself.
No workers or anybody else in the place?
No, nothing. It was,
oh my gosh,
it was truly bizarre, and I think it was this perfect recipe of, like, they were just in the midst of selling it. So I remember my tour guide, this older man came in, he gave me a tour. He talked briefly about how he wasn't sure if he was going to have a job soon because they were selling the house to somebody else. And I asked him before he left, I asked him how I could buy a T-shirt because I wanted to buy a T-shirt. And he said, well, the merch person will be back, will be here at 10 a.m. in the morning over in this like shed. And I was like, okay. And then he was like, yep, when you leave, just like, here's a door code. And like, that's that, like, and that was it. So no, there was nobody else at all in the house.
Oh, wow.
I've thought about this a lot, and I don't think there was any way for anyone to be like hiding in that house. There was like one closet that was locked that I didn't know what was in there. But other than that, I saw every inch of that house. And plus, like, I mean, if somebody else was in there, I would have heard them go to the bathroom or, like, eat or something. I don't know. And I was there from, like, 6 p.m. to 10 a.m. the next day. So, yeah, entirely alone. I was really tired. I had a big New England trip. I investigated the Conjuring House the night before. So I was exhausted. And then I spent some time in the Bridgewater Triangle as well. And I think all of that, like, led to this really weird night in the Lizzie Borden House. I think it had a lot to do with where I was at mentally, because I was so exhausted. I'd been eating poorly. I was really far away from home. I had to fly home the next day. It was just a lot going on. And then on top of that, you know, I'm alone in this house. It's surrounded by true crime photos and skulls and hatchets and, like, just ridiculous stuff that was really getting into my head. And I was really, really freaked out immediately. Like, basically after the tour guide left, I was really scared. I remember calling everyone I knew. I called my boyfriend, my mom, my grandma, just trying to keep talking and keep busy, because the second I was afraid of what I was going to hear if it was quiet. And then once, lo and behold, once it was quiet, once I had to kind of settle down a little bit and I was trying to eat some dinner that I had gotten, that's when the footsteps started. And it was just clear as day. I was staying in the room where, what do they call it? The John Morse room. I was staying in the room where they found the mother. Mm-hmm. On the floor. And so above me is the maid's room, and it started up there, and I could just hear boots walking across the floor just constantly. But then I could hear the footsteps starting in a room, you know, in the master bedroom down the hall. And then I would hear it coming down the hall, and then I would hear like the armoire in the room shift and the wood kind of like move from like somebody stepping near that. So I could tell that whatever was walking was kind of observing me in a way, or like just walking around this house, and it really freaked me out really bad.
Let's not freak each other out here. We've got Amanda, Jean, and Tim, you're in.
The Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
One in three adults has prediabetes. One in three. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker. Your cat jogger. While one in three adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
You know, Amanda, when it comes to these tourist attractions where things happen or happen all the time, don't you ever consider that maybe they have people there engineering this stuff?
Absolutely. That's actually I very much believe that that's happening at a lot of locations. And I questioned whether that was happening or not at Lizzie Borden House. And I think that it's possible it could be happening now. For as much as I could tell, I was alone the night that I stayed there. There was like an organic nature to the way that the activity was happening that it just seemed difficult to fabricate. I think if there were footsteps in one room and that was it, and it happened at intervals that made sense, then maybe, yes, they could have planted something in the floorboards to make it happening or some kind of, you know, whatever. And there are, I mean, for anyone listening to this podcast, there are absolutely companies out there who are hired help to haunted locations, to basically haunt the locations and to fabricate activity. And that is a real thing that definitely happens. Yeah, I don't know. I did go to Waverly Hills before I'm going to stop myself there. But I think it's possible that can happen sometimes, but I don't know if that's happened to me or not. I couldn't tell you for sure.
Well, you were hearing footsteps in your room, so it's kind of hard, I would think, to fake something like that unless they were upside down walking on the ceiling of the room below you, if there was a room below you.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm choosing to believe that the Lizzie Borden experience was authentic. It just doesn't make any sense to me how they could have faked it. But it definitely went through my head. I definitely wondered that, tried to figure it out for myself. But, yeah.
So did you manage that night to get your equipment out and do any investigations on your own?
I had my equipment out on the floor, but I didn't do any investigating, really. I just existed in the house as this activity was happening. I didn't really need to ask it to do anything, or like it just was happening all around me. And so there was an element to it where I was like, I just don't feel like I should get my equipment out. But I did go on live on Instagram for about 3 hours, a very long time. And so I was like, if anything happens, I'm going to catch it on this live. But I actually ended up getting so scared that I left the house at 2 a.m. and slept in the car.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really scary. It was not super fun. And also, it's a huge house to stay alone in, which is scary in itself. So,
yeah, it is a big house. All right, so now, you know, here you have an opportunity. You've got, you know, apparently, you know, paranormal activity going on around you. I mean, you are an experienced investigator, yet you got frightened. And I know that others have gotten criticism for this because, okay, you're a paranormal investigator, you go to look for ghosts, and yet when you have the experience, you get scared. What's up with that? So I'm being the devil's advocate here. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I've been in similar situations, and I know that feeling.
Yeah, that was the only instance that I've had in my entire ghost hunting career that I've left. And I felt a lot of guilt around that and a lot of regret later that I had to deal with, just because, you know, in what other scenario would I get to have, like, this entire house? I can't afford to rent that house out by myself. So it was also, like, a really great opportunity in that way. And also just thinking, you know, what if I had tried to do this? What if I had tried to do that? Why didn't I? And, yeah, I don't know. It just goes to show how intense the human psyche is. I just couldn't get out of my head about it, and I had to leave. But that's the only time I've done that since I was 18 in 2008 in my ghost hunting crew. I never left then. I've always actually taken a very, like, bull in a china shop approach. I'm never rude. I never yell or anything like that. Not like that, but I've always just been very unafraid and very willing to be the first one to go into a scary tunnel or, you know, to a degree, I love seeking thrill and adventure. But that experience at Lizzie Borden House was the exception. And I did get scared because I'm human. And that happens sometimes, you know.
Well, there's that primal fear that comes up inside of you in those kinds of situations. I mean, it's like that instinct kicks in, somebody is looking at me, or whatever, you know, the hair in the back of your neck, you know, comes up, and you can't shake it. You know, I mean, you try to be reasonable and try to think it through. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. I think for me, knowing myself and knowing that, like you said, primal fear doesn't normally come up for me, that it lends more legitimacy to the experience personally. I think there was something inside of me telling me that this was real, like really real, whatever was going on, whoever it was, it was happening. And when it's really, truly real like that, it felt like it was not the right thing to push it or to press it or to try to communicate. I just had to let it happen.
You also said that earlier you had been to the Bridgewater Triangle. Do you want to maybe explain to our listeners who aren't familiar with that just what that was? And did you have anything going on when you did that?
Yeah, so I have a very rudimentary understanding of the Bridgewater Triangle, to be honest. But it's from what I understand, it's similar to the Bermuda Triangle, but more so that there is like this area in New England that there's a lot of concentrated phenomena happening, lots of UFO sightings. I know that there's Pukwudgies out there, cryptids out there, also just really strange happenings. And I went out to the Freetown Fall River Forest, I think is what it was called, or park, to take a little hike out there and kind of explore the area for myself, because I didn't know too much about the Bridgewater Triangle or stuff that goes on out there. And I didn't have anything happen. However, I did kind of let myself wander into the woods, which in hindsight probably wasn't the best idea, but I found a bridge out in the middle of the forest. Like, I don't even know how I got off the path at one point, just kind of was like wandering around, and I found this bridge that had no apparent purpose. It wasn't over any water or anything. It was just like this like wooden bridge. And I crossed it without thinking, and I got to the other side, and then I looked around and I was like, okay, I better head back now. And then I go back over the bridge and go back. And then I get my car and drive to Liz Borden house. And I always kind of wondered if there was something to that, maybe a metaphorical bridge crossing happened, like some type of liminal rite happened where I, you know, like allowed myself to kind of cross the bridge over to the other side or something. I always wondered if that had something to do with the way that the night went. And like I said, I was at the Conjuring House the night prior, which was whatever, but just a strange, like two, three day experience, I think maybe heightened the possibility for activity at Lizzie Borden House.
Now, the crossing of the bridge out in the middle of nowhere with no real purpose.
With Tim and Amanda and Jean, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
For a second day, Israeli airstrikes have flattened homes in Gaza, and Palestinian rockets hit for southern Israel, raising fears of another major escalation in the Middle East. It began with Israel killing a senior commander of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad militant group amid a wave of strikes Friday that Israel says were meant to prevent an imminent attack. On Saturday afternoon, Israeli warplanes stepped up strikes with hits on four residential buildings in Gaza. All of the locations reportedly were linked to Islamic Jihad militants. The death toll now stands at 24 people, including six children. Russian forces began to assault two key cities in the eastern Donetsk region of Ukraine. They also kept up rocket and shelling attacks on other cities in the country, including one near the largest nuclear power plant on the European continent. This is USA Radio News. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says China should not hold talks of important global matters hostage. He spent Saturday in Manila meeting with his Philippine counterpart. It comes as China conducts a series of military exercises off Taiwan's coast in retaliation to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi visiting Taipei. Blinken says issues between Taiwan and the mainland need to be resolved peacefully.
What we've seen China do over the last few years is move away from a peaceful resolution of differences to doing so coercively and potentially forcefully.
President Biden has tested negative for COVID-19 one week after testing positive with a rebound case, but he will remain in isolation out of an abundance of caution until he tests negative for a second time. Elon Musk says his $44 billion deal to buy Twitter can proceed if the company can tell him how they know which accounts are spam bots. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
This is Big the Merciless. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio, exactly according to my plan.
Tim, when those times come, we hate to interrupt you, so go ahead.
I was saying that the bridge out in the middle of nowhere like that, with no purpose apparent, it sounds like some of the time slip stories that I have heard, where people are out in the woods and they, you know, come across the bridge or a path that shouldn't be there. They walk down it and suddenly they feel like they're in a completely different location with, you know, the weather changing or the forest is completely different. And, again, they have that primal fear that something's not right. And a lot of times they backtrack to try to get out of the area. And as soon as they do, the environment changes around them again.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, well, the Bridgewater Triangle has, you know, I mean, there's been experiences like that reported, mysterious disappearances. You know, like you said, there's the Pukwudgies, which, you know, is supposed to be like the American equivalent of, you know, like brownies or fairies or leprechauns, you know, what have you, little elemental types of creatures. As well, you know, people have reported unusual UFO and military activity in that area. And so, I mean, you were talking, you know, earlier about how there seems to be a connection, you know, with cryptids, UFOs, ghosts, all these things. The Bridgewater Triangle seems to be the epitome, you know, of all of that.
Yeah, that's a great point, and I'm realizing now that maybe I should do some more digging into the Bridgewater Triangle. I hadn't told that story in a while, and have been be like looking at my own belief system and trying to figure out how to explain it better. And I'm realizing now that the Bridgewater Triangle incident that I had and that area in particular is actually more influential than I've been thinking of it. So that's a great point. I'm going to think more on that in the future.
Well, I mean, considering that, you know, you then went to the Lizzie Borden house and you know, had your unusual experiences. Well, a lot of people have done research and investigations to place and, you know, come up with nothing. Sometimes it just, it seems like that being at the right place at the right time makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that.
So what about the Conjuring House? You said you went and visited that. Now, I mean, that's the place supposedly they made the movies, you know, about. Of course, you know, Hollywood takes their own track with these things. So, I mean, you know, what supposedly actually happened at this location?
Well, the night I was there, not much happened. Yeah, I don't know. I went with a group of 10 people, so there was a lot of us there. It was a really fun night, but as far as, like, paranormal experience goes, not anything that I would, like, write home about. So, yeah, not much happened.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Never happens to me, no. Because they don't like me. Okay. Or they don't want me to know. I know that Tim is very much involved in they.
All the stuff that they don't want you to know, is that Eugene? Well, some people say that they are the anti-paranormal, that they can go to locations that everybody else has had all kinds of weird experiences, and when they're there, nothing happens, ever. They go to UFO hunts and nothing ever shows up. So there are just some people that seem to be the antithesis to the paranormal.
Yeah. Probably has something to do with their own, like, skepticism or, like, wall to it. I've dealt with that myself. Being so skeptical, like, being so closed off to it that nothing happens at all when other people swear that things normally happen.
Well, don't you think also that, you know, with people like that, that even if something does happen, that they would dismiss it anyway?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I've been in one case in particular I think of where myself and an assistant, we went to a haunted theater and the manager was showing us around and he was completely skeptical of everything that happened. And we sat down in the middle of the empty theater in the seats. And I was kind of sitting in the middle. Manager was on the far side of me on the left, and my sister, she was sitting on the right. She was just so anxious. You know, this was the first time that she had ever done anything like this, and oh my gosh, she was just so happy to be doing this, and she wanted to see something. Well, then the seat next to her all of a sudden went down like somebody sat there and then stayed down. You know, these are the type of seats that, you know, they stay up until you actually sit on them, and then they come down. Then when you get up, they flip back up again. Well, this seat next to her just on its own just suddenly came down, and she got all upset, started crying. We had to leave. The manager, he was just like, oh, they do that all the time. I was like, okay. And, I mean, he didn't think anything weird about it. He's like, oh, they just do that all the time. But I don't. I think that was the last time, though, that that young lady ever wanted to do something like that again. You know, once she had an actual experience, that was enough for her.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, have you come across, you know, people like that? Have you gone out with people who were, you know, so anxious to have an experience, and then once they do, it freaks them out?
Yeah. I had a friend that I went to Thornwood Castle with here in Washington State. And she knew what I was going for. I was going to investigate, and I invited her along, and she was excited for it. And then we heard like essentially a Class A EVP because we heard it with our own eyes or own eyes with our own ears. And I kind of skated right past it and I kept going on with whatever I was doing. And about 5 minutes later, she's like, actually, we need to stop. Like, I'm really freaked out. I'm still thinking about that. Like, that was so crazy. How do you not think that that's crazy? And it really freaked her out. And I was like, oh, wow, I didn't even think about it, how it would affect somebody who was, I thought, ready to experience that kind of stuff. But she tried her best.
So what's a Class A EVP?
That would be something that you catch on a digital recorder that you hear with your own ears. So, like, you know, there's a lot of EVPs that a digital recorder will pick up, but you didn't necessarily hear. Mm-hmm. And, you know, your digital recorder's sensitivity could be up or whatever. People have different theories about that. But Class A would be something you hear with your own ears that's disembodied, like not seemingly not from any living person, that then you catch on your during an EVP session, like on your digital recorder. So we had actually heard this like kind of mumbling voice, and no one else was around. No one else was awake. It was like in the middle of the night. And then later I did catch it on my, like I could find it on my digital recorder, and it didn't sound like all that. It surprisingly didn't sound as clear on the recorder as it did with our ears, but it's definitely there. So
early on in our history of the Paracast, we did present some EVP sounds, and they're so troubling because they seem to sound like a real person really speaking, and you wonder what's the logic behind it all. If something out there strange wants to communicate with us, I'm sure they can figure out a way that's not as exotic or crazy as an EVP. Talk to us, folks. This is the same thing with aliens using mental telepathy. Come on now. Amanda Paulson joining us with Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Are you prepared for more severe food shortages? It's likely that over the next year, serious food shortages will plague us. American farmers are dealing with insane diesel fuel prices and fertilizer shortages, which will lower crop yields. And that means your family's favorite foods will soon be in short supply while fetching sky-high prices. Inflation is the new normal, folks. It's time to act before things get even worse. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com without delay. You'll find ready-hour emergency food kits from My Patriot Supply that last up to 25 years in storage. Each kit provides over 2,000 calories a day to keep your energy up. Order your emergency food kits today by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your food ships fast and arrives in unmarked boxes. Listen, there are ways to beat food shortages. When you're ready for real preparedness, make sure to look for Ready Hour Foods from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that, but the common person can? So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
Bad theater seats, cheap Halloween masks, my apartment, all things with obstructed views. Add to these large trucks and buses. 18-wheelers and large buses have big blind spots and, like my apartment, they don't always have the best view. Bus and truck drivers deal with blind spots around the entire vehicle. Always take care not to ride alongside or too close behind them. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
I need some extra money. Do I qualify for the Earned Income Tax Credit?
Use the EITC Assistant tool. With just a little information, this tool helps you calculate eligibility with ease and accuracy, get an estimate of how much credit you qualify for, and get a printout of your results before you prepare your return or visit your tax preparer. To use the EITC Assistant tool and see if you're eligible to claim a credit, visit irs.gov/EITC.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Now, understand, Amanda, when I speak of the craziness of this communication scheme, I don't mean to say what that proves it's not real. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. I agree. It doesn't make any sense to me either.
There's been, though, I mean, ever since people have developed electronic devices, there's been mysterious voices coming over them, or not even voices. Gosh, when the first telegraphs were put up, people were getting ghostly messages over those. I mean, it seems like that any advance in technology, there can be a paranormal activity that takes advantage of it.
Mm-hmm. I just dropped something, sorry. Right as you were saying that, I dropped my Ouija board, funny enough. But, yeah, I don't know. A lot of this stuff doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me, but it has been around for a long time, so it feels like there should be something to it, but, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you use any of these, ghost boxes? I'm not sure if I'm saying it right, you know, the ones that that scan across all the radio frequencies and, you know, pop up words, you know, supposedly the spirits are able to manipulate the words to convey a message or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I do use a spirit box, yeah. Mm-hmm. SB7 spirit box is one that I use, but I primarily use it in the Estes method, which is using a blindfold and noise isolating headphones to isolate the person listening to the feed from the spirit box, to isolate them from the people asking the questions. So I believe that removes a lot of bias from the experiment by not being able to hear the questions being asked, you know, just purely saying what I think I hear through the spirit box. But yeah, I do use spirit boxes.
That's a fascinating method. We had a guest on not too long ago who was investigating a Skinwalker Ranch type of area in the southeast, I think is where it was, wasn't it, Gene? That at this location, they were doing that. They had a ghost box with somebody who had headphones on, blindfold, and then people would ask questions out loud. He couldn't hear it, and then, you know, would reply to that. So, I mean, you know, can you give us, you know, like a good example or story of you using this?
Of using the method?
It's a fascinating method.
Yeah. So actually, I'll leave an air of mystery on this question, because in the documentary Death Is With Me that I filmed recently, we dig really deep into the origin of the Estes method. We bring on one of the people who created it, and also I use it multiple times throughout the documentary and get some really, really fascinating, perplexing results from it. So, that in Death Is With Me, my documentary, we really get into that method.
Mm-hmm. You had talked earlier about trying to bring in, you know, some of these other elements, you know, cryptids, UFOs, you know, into the quagmire of paranormal investigation. Have you actually had a chance yet to investigate anything, outside of the usual, you know, haunted locations and the like?
Say that again? I'm so sorry.
No. Have you had a chance yet to actually investigate, UFOs or cryptids or, you know, some of these different things other than the haunted locations that, you know?
Yeah, I've done a little bit. Mm-hmm. I've been out to Joshua Tree doing a little bit of looking for UFOs out there, and then some more Sasquatch type related stuff here in Washington and out on the Olympic Peninsula. But I really want to get more into it in the coming year, as kind of my intent is my plan to actually start going out in the field and doing some more research into like UFO phenomena and Sasquatch phenomena, because both of those are huge for Washington State.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, what's going on out at Joshua Tree?
There wasn't anything in particular, but I just rented a trailer out in the middle of nowhere out there, and with the intent of, I shouldn't say that was any type of researching really so much as it was putting myself in a situation near where sightings had occurred, hoping I would see something too. But I just saw some shooting stars. I didn't see any UFOs that night, but I'd love to go back out down there into the desert and then do more localized research as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, what do you think? We had a previous episode that we had a guest who is doing Bigfoot, and they call it wood apes, investigations in the Texas area. And they're very much of the mind that you're dealing exclusively with an actual living flesh and blood creature, you know, that has managed all this time to stay hidden. What's your opinion? I mean, not only with Sasquatch and Bigfoot, but you know, some of these other elements like UFOs and some of the strange creatures that are seen coming out of them. I mean, do you think that we're just dealing with flesh and blood Sasquatch or nuts and bolts UFOs, or could there be more to it than that?
I, at this time, do not believe that we're dealing with flesh and blood or nuts and bolts
mm-hmm.
at all. That's not what I believe right now, but again, like I said before, I'm willing to let my beliefs shift and change as I have different experiences throughout my life. But as far as what I've experienced for myself as of now, that I just doesn't make me believe that that it's flesh and blood or nuts and bolts.
And why? pin you down here on this. You know, why? What makes you think that way?
I mean, I guess solely just because I haven't I haven't experienced. The closest Sasquatch type experience I've had didn't result in me physically seeing anything there. It acted very much like a ghost. Like something was, there was sound and there was movement, but there was, it was invisible. There was nothing there. And then I haven't actually seen a UFO, you know? So I think I've seen some strange things in the sky before, but I couldn't say that I've actually had an experience where it felt real to me. Like but, real. Oh, like real, real. Yeah.
So, can you give us more detail on your possible invisible Sasquatch experience, or is that part of the documentary as well?
That's not part of the documentary, but I do have that on my Instagram in more detail. But I was visiting a cemetery in northern Idaho in this canyon that's, like, not well visited, and I had this inclination to go up to a specific grave, and it ran up against a forest, and I could hear something that sounded like the size of a moose or larger kind of get up out of the forest and then move the brush and like start breaking twigs in front of me, but I saw nothing. And then I ran away from it, ran back up to it to see what it was. It happened again, saw absolutely nothing, and kind of chalked it up to the area has Sasquatch sightings. So I was like, it seems like that fit the bill, but also I didn't see anything with my eyes. It was more visual and auditory. But
that's really interesting, you know, because you're not the only one, though, that has had a similar experience, you know, where they're hearing something that sounds like basically it's right next to them, but they can't see anything.
Yeah, it is. It is super fascinating, and it's something that made me change my mind a lot on a lot of things, in particular.
Yes, we will continue with all the stuff, the invisible Sasquatch. With Amanda and Jean and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Do you experience fatigue when you know you should have energy? One reason fatigue can occur is due to a lack of antioxidants in the body. This deficiency happens the older we get, or due to eating an unhealthy diet, or even due to exercise. Your body's number one antioxidant is glutathione. When your cells are depleted of glutathione, you will be fatigued, inflamed, possibly depressed, and may also feel pain. Empirical results indicate that consuming green metal whey protein powder is the most effective means of increasing glutathione production. Green metal whey supplies nature's richest source of the precursor to making glutathione within the trillions of cells of your body. This protein strongly supports the cell's ability to make glutathione. Add to this that green metal whey also supports immunity, energy, lean muscle development, fat loss, and has anti-cancer properties, and you have nature's most complete and strongest superfood. To order, go to bestwayprotein.net, that's bestwayprotein.net, or call 888-988-3325, that's 888-988-3325.